Brother Rufus shook his curled up paw at the crow.
What have you done to our Constance, you villain?
Silence, mouse. Worry about your own fate. The great striped dog will meet hers in good time. But you, all of you, this day will be your last. You will die in this place.
Abbot Mordalfus shuffled forward.
Let them go. It was none of their doing. I am abbot here, and I alone am responsible for defying your leader. Take me.
Ironbeak dashed forward and knocked the abbot down.
I am Ironbeak. I say who lives or dies, Earthcrawler.
Before any beast could stop her, Sister May leapt at the raven leader. She kicked and bit, tearing plumage from the raven's puffed-out breast.
You big bully! You leave our abbot alone!
She shouted. His dignity lost for a moment, Ironbeak hopped about wildly until he had shaken the mouse sister off. As Sister May lay defenceless on the floor, the enraged raven began attacking her.
Stupid little earth crawler! You will be the first to die.
Cornflower and several other creatures were about to run in and help Sister May when the thunderbolt struck. A giant red bird came soaring through from the wine cellar into Cavern Hall and struck Ironbeak like a battering ram.
I am Strike Red Kite. You hurt Sissy May. I kill. Kill!
Feared fighter as he was, Ironbeak did not stand a chance against the ferocity of the mountain bird. There was a massive flurry of red and black feathers upon the floor of Cavern Hall. Over and over they rolled, with Strike always coming out uppermost, her great powerful talons and beak tearing and rending.
Help me!
Ironbeak managed to scream out to his fighters. The barricade fell with an ear-splitting crash, and Constance was in the middle of the rooks like a striped whirlwind. Cornflower and Mrs. Church Mouse managed to grab Rollo and the few little ones and hurried them into the kitchens. Settling the infants under the kitchen table, they ran to peer round the archway into Cavern Hall and witnessed the liberation of Redwall Abbey. Strike Red Kite fought Ironbeak across the shattered barricade and up the seven steps into Cavern Hall, where the two birds took to the air. The raven had no way of escape. He flopped about, bouncing from the walls and windows, relentlessly pursued beak and claw by the red kite. She drove at him with her beak, raked and clawed him with her talons. Ironbeak tried every trick he knew, plunging and dipping whichever way he went. The kite was unshakably on top of him, around columns, over galleries, under roof beams, glorying savagely in her regained gift of flight. Ironbeak tried one last desperate attempt at escape. He winged straight up to the trap door leading to the place in the eaves, and he had actually set his claws into the ring of the wooden door when the kite struck full force. Strike Red Kite circled the ceiling of Great Hall as the lifeless carcass of General Ironbeak plummeted down to hit the stone floor below in a ragged heap of raven feathers.
Strike Red Kite flies!
Mangus tried to flee. He took wing and left the ground, flying for the stairs and the ruined barricade. Constance was waiting. She stood with one paw swinging strongly upward. As the crow drew level with her, she battered out hard. The seer crow hit the far wall of Cavern Hall like a ripe fruit. Then he slid to the floor, never to rise again. The remaining sparrows of Queen Warbeak's command took care of a rook and a magpie between them. Winifred flattened two rooks with a big frying pan, and Brother Rufus and Sister May accounted for a rook between them. Immediately, the fight went out of the remaining rooks and the two surviving magpies. Without their leader and Mangus the seer, they lost heart. Constance pointed a blunt paw.
Into that wine cellar, all of you. One squawk or false move while you're down there, and we'll do to you exactly what you planned for us. Now get out of my sight, double quick, before I change my mind and let the big red bird loose on all of you.
Shepherded by Winifred and Ambrose, the birds fled hurriedly through the kitchens to the wine cellar. Ambrose, armed with a soup ladle, threatened them.
Move along there. If one of you rotten eggspawn so much as looks at my barrels of wine and ale, I'll chop off your tails and pickle the lot of you in a barrel of sour apple vinegar.
Constance set the big table back in its former place.
No real damage done, except to your gatehouse cottage door, Cornflower. I'll help you repair it. There, the old place looks nearly as good as new. Father Abbot, Redwall is yours once again. We await your word.
The abbot glanced up into Great Hall.
Our first problem is how to stop Strike flying about. She's making me dizzy, soaring and wheeling around the abbey. John, you can make an addendum to the books on birds concerning the remarkable healing powers of a great red kite's wing. By the fur, that bird looks as if she wants to spend the rest of her life in the air.
John Churchmouse, not renowned for his humour, smiled.
When I was a young'un, I could never make a kite that flew properly. Funny how you learn as you get older,
he joked. From the wine cellar, the tiny gruff voice of Baby Rollo sang raucously.
Chop up a root and make a soup. Send him to bed without any bread. Dip his tail in tober ale. And good old magpie pie.
The sound of happy laughter rang through Redwall Abbey, from the wine cellar to the very roof beams of Great Hall, where the big red bird soared gracefully.
This ends Disc 11.